1932.
Welcome to the Talk Radio Countdown Show with Doug Steffen, counting down what America's talking about.
The Talk Radio Countdown.
No one was more sickened or angry than I was when we didn't find weapons of mass destruction. You still have a sickening feeling.
I do.
When you think about it.
I do.
Was there ever any consideration of apologizing to the American people?
I mean, apologizing would basically say the decision was a wrong decision. And I don't believe it was a wrong decision.
If you knew then what you know now,
that's right,
you would still go to war in Iraq.
I, first of all, didn't have that luxury. You just don't have the luxury in your present. I will say, definitely, the world is better off without Saddam Hussein in power. As are 25 million people who now have a chance to live in freedom.
Talk Radio Countdown Show on the air. Once again, George E. Bush is the focus, the memoirs, the book, Decision Points, showing up on radio and television programs all over the place, on NBC, on with Oprah, on with Rush, on with Sean. George W. Bush. What you just heard was a portion of the interview, one of the interviews with the president, in which he discusses not finding weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. He's pretty much hitting all the high points, all the things that were important during the years that he was there, controversial things, all the invisible things that have gone away, now surfacing again. The president, or former president, hasn't been around much for the last couple of years, but he has reclaimed the spotlight this week with the release of this book in which he defends his war on terror, defends the decision to invade Iraq, a print run of 1.5 million copies already out. Bush talks of his errors in the Iraq campaign and the failure to find weapons of mass destruction, and there are all kinds of other things in here. You would expect that after hearing most of what has been put forth in these first couple of interviews that we cover all the ground. Maybe you don't need to read the book. I'm not sure that that's, maybe there'd be a little nuance. You read it and you get your own interpretation. Here the president reflects on how history may judge him.
Mr. President, you have remained mostly silent, largely silent, over the last couple of years. Why'd you remain silent?
Well, for two reasons. One, I just didn't want to get out there anymore. I didn't want to get back into what I call the swamp. I'm trying to regain a sense of anonymity. And the other reason why is I don't think it's good for the presidency, for a former president, to be opining about his successor. President Obama's got plenty of critics, and I'm just not going to be one.
In the summer of 2006, as Iraq descended into chaos, he made the unpopular decision to send 20,000 additional troops in.
What made you think that was going to be successful? Give me your thinking on that.
Well, I wasn't sure what would be successful, but I knew what would be unsuccessful, and that is the current strategy. So I was coming to the conclusion throughout the summer that we needed to try something differently.
The reaction to the surge immediately, one critic called it the most dangerous foreign policy blunder in this country since Vietnam, and that was a Republican.
That's right.
That was a Republican. So in terms of decision points, how hard a decision was the surge for you? Where does it rank?
Well, it was a very difficult decision, made easier by the fact that I had met with many families of the fallen who said to me, do not let my loved one's sacrifice go in vain. And I really didn't care about popularity. I mean, everybody wants to be liked. But as the commander-in-chief, I was more interested in success than my personal popularity.
You said that history is not ready to judge you yet, right? It's going to take time.
True.
When it does come about, President Bush, do you think you'll be judged a success or a failure?
I hope I'm judged a success. I'm going to be dead, Matt, when they finally figure it out. And I'm comfortable knowing that I gave it my all, that I love America, and that and I know it's an honor to serve.
Next on the countdown from MSNBC, Andrea Mitchell speaks with a former Bush communications director about the president's comments focused on Hurricane Katrina.
That look in his eye, and that surely was an angry look. I don't know if you ever experienced it as a staff member, but I've seen it as a reporter asking questions. He was really offended by that.
He was, and you know, this may be the most thick-skinned president we have ever seen in modern times. Certainly has thicker skin than former President Bill Clinton. I think most people would agree who cover President Obama that George W. Bush had thicker skin. But this is something that I think he felt cut to something that was central to his character. He took great offense.
He wrote, "My biggest substantive mistake was waiting too long to deploy active duty troops. By day three, it was clear that federal troops were needed to restore order. If I had to do it all over again, I would have sent the 82nd Airborne immediately without law enforcement authority." You were in Greece at your wedding. A lot of the key decision makers from the White House staff were there celebrating with you and your new husband. And so people were out of pocket. And that's the kind of thing that happens. Just a total accident, but the president was at his ranch and there was nobody just on hand watching day to day and saying, "Hey, you got to get back."
There's always somebody manning the mothership, but certainly August is a period where White House, this White House often spreads out between Chicago and Martha's Vineyard in Washington and our White House. Look, the best thing about what he did last night with Matt Lauer was that he offered no excuses. There are no excuses for an inadequate response to a disaster like Hurricane Katrina. And I think what people who love George Bush will love about this book and what people who hate George Bush may begin to understand about George Bush is what you see is what you get. And I think that his singular, you know, when he talks about being at peace with history's look back on his presidency, I think that is very much about making sure that we were never attacked again after 9/11. Because as you remember, it wasn't about whether we would get attacked. It was about where and when we would get attacked. But I think if you look at the single thing that I think that he would remake completely, it would be that initial early response to Hurricane Katrina.
Everyone knows you make better choices when you can try things out first, and choosing a university shouldn't be any different. At Kaplan University, we're introducing the Kaplan Commitment, a new way to experience classes with no tuition obligation. During our introductory period, you can decide if we're right for you. If not, you only pay the application fee. That's it. We want to help you make educated decisions about your education. Learn more at kaplan.edu/talent or call 866-721-5955.
Want to lower the cost of doing business?
Reduce email storage and get compliant.
Barracuda Networks can help. The Barracuda Message Archiver is an integrated hardware and software solution that indexes and preserves all email communication and attachments. With no per-user fees and a quick setup, the Barracuda Message Archiver is the best solution for reducing the cost of email storage while ensuring government and litigation compliance. Powerful yet affordable security, networking, and storage solutions trusted by more than 80,000 businesses worldwide. Call 888-ANTI-SPAM for your free evaluation unit. 888-ANTI-SPAM or visit Barracuda.com.
An important message from Medicare and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Got 2 miles to go, John. Why are you smiling?
Oh, you'll like this. I just changed my Medicare.
Open enrollment?
Yep. I compared plans and found coverage that's better for me.
Did you see the new benefits we get from the new health care law?
What?
Like, well, 50% off brand name prescriptions for anyone in the donut hole.
Really?
Come on, John. You got to keep up.
Open enrollment is November 15th to December 31st. Visit Medicare.gov or call 1-800-MEDICARE.
Hi, I'm David Cordani with Cigna. We've been working with the March of Dimes for stronger, healthier babies for 16 years. Did you know, in America, 1 in 8 babies is born too soon? Those who survive the early birth can suffer serious and sometimes lifelong health problems. Some babies never come home at all. Help bring more babies home healthy. Join me and the March of Dimes in fighting premature birth. Go to marchofdimes.com.
Improve your memory with Neurolox. 1 out of 2 American seniors will experience life-altering brain decline, but it's not too late to protect yourself. With the breakthrough product, Neurolox Advanced Memory Formula, you can improve your focus and memory, protect against premature brain decline and oxidation, and even elevate your mood. Call 1-888-445-1932 to try Neurolox risk-free. Refocus your mind, improve your memory, and fight premature brain aging, all with Neurolox. Call today, 1-888-445-1932.
800-510-8255, the usual line. Get in on it as you can. We'll take some calls on the president and what you've been learning this week about his defensive positions. Here from Fox, host John Scott speaks with former Bush Deputy Press Secretary Scott Stanzel. Says the president was in office during one of the toughest times in our history.
Anything in there surprise you? I mean, is this the same book, the same boss that you saw as he was leaving office?
Yeah, it really is. I think people will see that he's a man of character, integrity, compassion, and he's a man who is very much at peace with the decisions that he had to make in what was one of the most tumultuous, maybe, times in recent history in this country. And I think, you know, he's not one who's prone to navel-gazing or being put on the couch, as he sort of used to like to say. So this book that walks people through the decisions that he had to make as president and that he was confronted with when he was in the Oval Office, I think will provide a sort of a revealing sense of all the information that he processed as president and those difficult decisions that he had to make, whether it was on the economy or on issues of national security or things even in his personal life.
And he doesn't shrink from some of those calls that he made. I mean, he's been asked about Hurricane Katrina, for instance, and said, yeah, I didn't do the kind of job that I wish I had done.
Right. He is certainly able to reflect on some of the things that went very well during his presidency, some of the more troubling times, whether it was Hurricane Katrina or the financial crisis that occurred. I think he's one who's not one to shift blame, as you may have seen in the interview that he conducted last night. He said, I'm always to blame. And he actually sort of meant that because it is a buck stops here job with the president, and he felt the weight of that office fully when he was there. And I think this book will help people understand why he made the decisions he did at the time when he had to make them.
He had a 90% approval rating just after the 9/11 attacks. It was substantially lower at the time he left office. When you were coordinating some of his sort of exit interviews with the media, did that bother him?
No, it really didn't. And he used to say, who cares? And that was one of the quickest ways that you could get dismissed from the Oval Office, is to bring poll numbers into a conversation. It was not something that really drove his decision making at all.
Isn't it interesting how all the old Bushies are showing up? Here is their radio host, Frank Shires, hoping that the critics of the president, President Bush, will at least read the book.
Associated Press points out in that in Decision Points, the president, as they say, who in cockier times could not think of a single mistake he had made, lists many. And they say in the article, Bush's mistakes, in his view now, they range from a badly named piece of legislation, the Patriot Act, implying those who opposed it were unpatriotic, to the momentously consequential claim that Iraq had weapons of mass destruction, a justification for war when none was found. That's not exactly true, actually. But he writes that he cut troop levels in Iraq too quickly and that he misjudged the severity of the economic downturn in his final months as president, believing the U.S. might still avoid a recession even as the House of Cards was about to come tumbling down. Look, those are consequential mistakes. Oops, I missed the recession. That's a pretty big mistake. Oops, no weapons of mass destruction. Pretty large error. And I certainly would grant both of those. You could argue with me until you're blue in the face. You're not going to get anything more out of me. Then, yeah, he made some mistakes. But I'm going to return to what I said at the beginning. I look at where we are 2 years later, okay? 17% unemployment. 9.6 for the rest of us. The government has taken over our health care, the car companies, the biggest insurance company in the world, the banks. I just look at that stuff, and I know some people think those are achievements. I think they're just awful. I look at where we are today. I would rather be where we were 3 years ago with George W. Bush as president. Am I going to read the book? Probably. Be interesting to see what his worldview is and how he sees the different things. Are people going to stop hating him? I doubt that. I mean, the people that hate him are going to hate him. That's the way it works. The people that think he's stupid are going to think he's stupid. But I'll tell you this, and without naming the host, there are individuals around here who have listened to what Jimmy Carter has to say. Now, I don't know anybody who wouldn't say Jimmy Carter was one of the worst, if not the worst, modern American president in our history. And yet we give him credence. If that's the case, had we not ought to at least see what George W. Bush has to say?
The Countdown will return in just a few moments with your calls at 800-510-8255.
South of Washington, D.C., a USO stuffing party is in full swing. By the end of the day, volunteers will have stuffed over 10,000 USO care packages, packed them in boxes, loaded them on trucks, and sent them on their way to our soldiers in Iraq, Afghanistan, and military bases around the world. They'll stuff them full of things that most of us take for granted, but that our troops don't often have. Things like toiletries, playing cards, candy, books, little things. Little things that carry an enormous message to our troops. Little things like, thank you. Like, we'll never forget you. Like, we're behind you 100%. Like, we love and cherish each and every one of you. Little things. We're all about the little things. We're the USO. So are you. For more information and to find out how you can help, visit us at USO.org. The USO. Until everyone comes home.
Everyone knows you make better choices when you can try things out first. And choosing a university shouldn't be any different. At Kaplan University, we're introducing the Kaplan Commitment, a new way to experience classes with no tuition obligation. During our introductory period, you can decide if we're right for you. If not, you only pay the application fee. That's it. We want to help you make educated decisions about your education. Learn more at kaplan.edu/talent or call 866-721-5955.
Want to lower the cost of doing business?
Stop harmful spam and virus intrusions.
Barracuda Networks can help. The Barracuda Spam and Virus Firewall is an integrated hardware and software solution that processes and filters out bad email before it enters your network. With no per-user fees and automatic updates, the Barracuda Spam and Virus Firewall is the most cost-effective solution for protecting your network from email-borne threats. Powerful yet affordable security, networking, and storage solutions trusted by more than 80,000 businesses worldwide. Call 888-ANTI-SPAM for your free evaluation unit. 888-ANTI-SPAM or visit Barracuda.com.
We're counting down what America's talking about. The Talk Radio Countdown Show continues.
23 and change past the hour. We're interested in your thoughts. We have a couple of more pieces of the pie here. The president, former president, I keep referring to him as the president. Some people have called this the George W. Bush rehab tour. But it's kind of interesting as to who got chosen, because they chose, they called and said, okay, Rush, you want to have the president on, and Sean, and I'm not sure if he's going to be on any local programs or not. Been on with Oprah. I think he's going to do some of the late night shows. A lot of people, he said, as he was on with Oprah, don't think I can read, much less write. And then he said that the world was better off without Saddam Hussein. That's an undeniable fact. And have to hear that from George Bush. He argues about not finding weapons of mass destruction. I mean, I think we've heard a lot of this stuff now. You're getting used to the same stories being told on all of these shows. Here's radio host Chad Hartman, who focuses on the president, thinks he'll be criticized for saying he had no intelligence that Al-Qaeda might be using airplanes to attack America.
Let's give you a little audio, and we'll react to some of the points he has to say.
Did you not have any idea who was behind this?
I mean, we all surmised it was Al-Qaeda, but before you make a decision to go find somebody, you want to make sure the intelligence is as good as it can get. And the next couple of days, we heard all kinds of chatter and celebratory talk, and so it became clear it was Al-Qaeda.
Did you ever ask yourself the question, what more could I have done to prevent this from happening?
Well, we just didn't have any solid intelligence that gave us a warning on this. I mean, we didn't have any intelligence that said you know, get ready, they're going to fly airplanes into New York buildings.
He's going to be eviscerated on that one by the lefties who can't stand him, because it's been well documented, the reports that were given to Condoleezza Rice when he was down in Crawford early August on the potential of attacks through airplanes. Now, what we don't know is how many different potential ideas were thrown at President Bush at that point, former President Clinton. We just had, when was it? You might have been gone, Adam. It was 10 years after the bombing of the coal. And so there was a release of documents, which was awfully critical of both presidents, President Clinton and President Bush, saying, hey, we have actionable intelligence on bin Laden and al-Qaeda for these attacks. And Clinton didn't push it hard enough at the end, and the Bushies weren't interested in it. So I don't think anybody's going to say, yes, specifically on September 10th, you had this information. But if over and over, including the 9/11 Commission, talked about what Condoleezza Rice was provided to her by the people who were reporting to her when she was, National Security Advisor at the time, and gave to President Bush, that's been reported over and over. So on that point, he is going to receive criticism, don't you think?
And if you look at it through the glasses of our reality today, when we get, you hear the term chatter now.
Yeah,
about even the most, what would seem the most maybe minor attacks or, things, most minor attempts by terrorists. And you'd think there would be something, that somebody would have heard something about it.
Yeah.
Somebody would have known something.
I'm not saying
you would have known exactly what was going to happen, but that something's coming.
You want to give Olbermann his opportunity for his return tonight? They're going to go to the 9/11 Commission and talk about what Condoleezza Rice showed the president and showed other people in August while he was in Crawford and what happened a month later.
Yeah, it's going to be – it's difficult to look back on it now based on what we've learned and all the news reports and stuff since that time. I mean, that moment was transformative in terms of the way that intelligence is looked at.
Yeah, talking to each other.
Exactly. The way it's disseminated, the way it's distributed, the way it's acted upon by various agencies. And so to sit here now and say, we should have known this, that, and that.
I'm not saying that, but he said we didn't have any intelligence. It has been reported endlessly. Flying planes into buildings. Flying planes into buildings. That is their plan. Now, has that turned into hyperbole? Has that turned into something convenient for liberals and individuals who hate George Bush? Let's see the reporting on that, because it has been out there for a long time.
And now for the bonus round. Earth is to moon as pancake is to...
Spice rub?
Correct. Never bite the hand that feeds you. Why not?
Because it hasn't been washed.
Correct.
Ooh.
All Wii consoles connect to the internet, which means what?
It means I can now watch movies instantly from Netflix.
Correct! Netflix now delivers unlimited TV episodes and movies instantly to your TV through your Wii console, all for only $9 a month.
See terms of use.
Never let your lips go naked. Instead, for healthier, supple lips, slip on something silky like ChapStick Moisturizer. Slide on something luscious and smooth like ChapStick Cherry. Or throw on something comfortable and familiar like Classic Black. ChapStick, hydrating formula for everyday protection. Because whether you're on a date or hard at work, healthy lips should never go naked. Join us on Facebook for even more lip service.
So, Lisa, mucus, what brings you to counseling?
Sinus congestion.
And she blames me.
You are mucus.
Well, did you ever think it's swelling due to nasal inflammation?
I assume.
Yeah, there she goes.
Mucus, please. It's more constructive to offer a solution.
Okay. New Advil Congestion Relief. It treats the real problem of sinus congestion with the strength of Advil and an effective decongestant.
Everyone feel better?
Much.
New Advil Congestion Relief. The right sinus medicine for the real problem. Use as directed.
Everyone knows you make better choices when you can try things out first. And choosing a university shouldn't be any different. At Kaplan University, we're introducing the Kaplan Commitment, a new way to experience classes with no tuition obligation. During our introductory period, you can decide if we're right for you. If not, you only pay the application fee. That's it. We want to help you make educated decisions about your education. Learn more at kaplan.edu/talent or call 866-721-5900.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
In USA Radio News, I'm Jason Walker. Drug war in Mexico escalating as hundreds of people have fled the town of Ciudad Maya after gunmen burned vehicles and businesses. Intimidation of ordinary citizens increasing this week after a top drug lord was killed by federal troops last week. More than 31,000 people have reportedly been killed across Mexico because of the drug cartels in 4 years. Joint Chiefs Chairman Admiral Mike Mullen wants the Senate to approve a new START nuclear treaty with Russia, pointing out the previous treaty expired nearly a year ago. Democratic leaders trying to decide whether to bring the treaty up for a full Senate vote in the next few weeks or wait until next year when Republicans begin flexing their newfound muscle. Then passage would become more difficult. This is IRN USA Radio News.
Do you crave eggs? I do.
Eggs are an incredible way to start your day. You've always heard that breakfast is the most important meal of the day, right? But a breakfast that contains eggs helps you stay full longer and keeps you energized throughout the day. And here's why. Eggs are a good source of all-natural, high-quality protein. Just one egg has lots of essential vitamins and minerals in varying amounts for just 70 calories. And an average of just 15 cents apiece, eggs are one of the most affordable sources of high-quality protein, and they deliver a big nutrient bang for your buck. From America to Asia, eggs are celebrated around the world for their versatility, affordability, and nutrient density. Take a trip around the world without even leaving your kitchen by visiting the recipes section of IncredibleEgg.org, home of the incredible edible egg.
After age 21, young adults with disabilities age out of the services and supports provided by law through the school system. As a result, families are faced with concerns about their adult child's immediate needs for employment, housing, independence, health care, and financial security. Patricia Wright is Director of Autism Services for Easter Seals, a nonprofit offering services to people with disabilities.
Parents of adult children with developmental disabilities are really struggling with concerns that impact every aspect of their lives, especially when it comes to their financial well-being and independence. They are particularly fearful about what will happen to their son or daughter with a disability when they are no longer able to care for them, yet have done little to prepare for that time. Easter Seals is working to raise awareness of and advocate for the lifelong services families desperately need.
For more information from Easter Seals' new study about parents of adult children with disabilities, visit EasterSeals.com. I'm Lee Shepherd.
Now, 33 after the hour of the Talk Radio Countdown, focusing on George Bush and his new book and your views. A lot of interesting interviews are going on this week. Oprah has an interview with Katherine Jackson, Michael's mother, that won't, I don't know, depends on how you look at things, whether that'll be as interesting or controversial. A lot of books come out this time of year because just for Christmas and people, I mean, this is not, hello. There's no brilliance to the strategy here. Christmas is coming, so people are going to want to buy books to give them for various reasons. That's why all these books are floating around everywhere. And this has been an anticipated book for lots of different reasons. A lot of people wanted to see if somebody would clean up George Bush's writing or discussion style as much as anything else. So he's talking to Matt Lauer here, and we've decided to pick the important aspects of the interview out and present them to you, and then we'll take your calls. That's it. No other input today, at least from the at least in this hour, from those who are eschewing the book from sea to shining sea. This is a big interview for Matt Lauer. He's the right one for this. He's moderate and yet strong. Here the president talks about events surrounding Hurricane Katrina, including the unfortunate picture doing a heck of a job, Brownie comment, and Kanye West is an interesting, well, we've heard already bits and pieces about his being upset or hurt by what Kanye West says, so let's listen to him explain that.
Let's get to the picture that we may have seen more of you in the last couple of years of your presidency than any other picture. You're sitting in Air Force One, you're flying back toward Washington, you fly right over New Orleans, and you look out the window.
Yes, yeah, huge mistake.
And it made you look so out of touch.
Detached. And uncaring, no question about it. And
whose fault was it?
That's always my fault. I should have touched down in Baton Rouge, met with the governor, you know, walked out and said, I hear you. I mean, we know, we understand, and we're going to, you know, help the state and help the local governments with as much resources as needed. And it got back on a float up to Washington. I did not do that and paid a price for it.
The other moment where seemed to be a huge disconnect between you and the people, especially the people on the ground, was famously with FEMA Director Mike Brown.
Yeah.
You know, we were all watching and we were broadcasting images of misery.
No, I know.
He says the comment came after he met with the governors of Alabama and Mississippi, both Republicans who both praised Brown.
I tend to boost people's spirits during difficult times. And these two governors saying, this guy's doing a good job. Of course, I say,
and Brownie, you're doing a heck of a job.
Basically, what I was saying is, good job. You're doing what we expect you to do.
That's not what we were saying.
Yeah, exactly. I understand. I mean, so the only thing I can tell you is you're right.
And you're right that critics turned your words of encouragement into a club to bludgeon you.
They did.
About a week after the storm hit, NBC aired a telethon.
Yes.
Asking for help for the victims of Katrina. We had celebrities coming in to ask for money, and I remember it vividly because I hosted it. And at one part of the evening, I introduced Kanye West. Were you watching?
Nope.
You remember what he said?
Yes, I do. Call me a racist.
Well, what he said was, George Bush doesn't care about black people.
That's because I said he's a racist. And I didn't appreciate it then, I don't appreciate it now. It's one thing to say, you know, I don't appreciate the way he's handled his business. It's another thing to say this man's a racist. I resent it. It's not true. And it was one of the most disgusting moments of my presidency.
Wow. Okay. That's hitting it. That's as it should be. Yeah, why not, right? 800-DISGUSTING. 800-510-8255. George Bush focusing on the financial crisis in the book. His relationship with John McCain in the book. What he thought about Barack Obama in the book, Kanye West, Sarah Palin, his mother, Dick Cheney, about everything that happened that was controversial, it needed to have an airing, or at least he wanted to have his say about it. Whether you believe it or you don't believe it is not important. Will this book sell? 800-510-8255. Will you buy it? Okay, a couple of more excerpts from the interview, and then we're going to get straight to your calls. President Bush here talking about his problems earlier on in his life with alcohol.
As an adult, he admits he was a heavy drinker.
You call it a West Texas expression about guys who drink, and you said last night he thought he was a 10. In fact, he was an ass.
That's right.
And does that describe how you get on occasion?
Yeah, I did. Sometimes. Absolutely. You know, I said some stupid things.
Tell me the story about the dinner party.
Okay, so here's one of the worst.
That's what we want. We want the worst.
Well, you found it.
Yeah.
So I'm drunk at the dinner table at Mother and Dad's house in Maine. And my brothers and sister are there, Laura's there, and I'm sitting next to a beautiful woman, friend of Mother and Dad's. And I said to her out loud, what is sex like after 50?
Silence.
I mean, total silence. And not only silence, but like serious daggers.
From your mom.
Yeah. And my wife.
The point of the story is to say alcohol had a control over you and you didn't have control over
that's
alcohol.
That's right. No, that I right.
He says his faith helped him quit cold turkey just after his 40th birthday.
Throughout your presidency, there were times because people knew your background drinking, where the rumors would start to go around. They'd say,
you're drinking again.
He's drinking again.
Sure.
You know, he's at the... So talk to me. During the most stressful times of your presidency, 9/11, Iraq, Katrina, you never fell off the wagon?
No.
Of course, not a sip.
No, I haven't had a sip of alcohol since 1986.
Temptation?
No, I was through.
George Bush talking about his problems with alcohol. I'm looking through... I did not see the interview, and I'm looking through several different descriptions of it. I don't see a question about the movie W that was done by Oliver Stone and whether or not that was an accurate portrayal, as a lot of people who have known George Bush through the years think it is. I don't see anything about that. But lots of other things are here. Pretty interesting so far, don't you think, really? Yeah, honestly, come on. Whether you like George Bush or not, this is interesting stuff. 800-510-8255. One more excerpt from the interview, and then we'll get to your calls. Matt Lauer here, asking President Bush about his relationship with his dad.
You learn a little bit about the relationship between you and your father in a letter that he wrote to you on the occasion of your inauguration as governor of Texas.
Yeah.
You have your glasses?
I can't read it. You're going to have to read it.
Do you mind if I read a little bit for you?
Here's the thing you just got to understand. If you want me to weep, let me read some of the letters that he has written to me as a son. I mean, you can read it.
Let me read a part of it.
Thank you for doing that.
These cufflinks are my most treasured possession. They were given to me by Mom and Dad on June 9th, that day in 1943, when I got my Navy wings at Corpus Christi. I want you to have them now, for in a sense, you are getting your wings as you take the oath of office as our governor. You have sacrificed for us. You have given us your unwavering loyalty and devotion. And now it's our turn.
Yeah. Wow. So, yeah, as I said, I could barely get through it listening to you read it. Oh, yeah, I know. There's a lot of psycho Bible out there that, you know, he and I compete, and W is trying to, you know, overshadow his father. And I said, look, I think people would be surprised to learn that this relationship is based upon love.
Why would people be surprised by that?
Well, because it's not as complex as some would like it to be. I admired him, and he never disappointed me. He was always a great father. And so when it came time to run for president, I was motivated in large part. Look, I wanted to run. I had an agenda. You know, I had a team of people I was comfortable with. The truth of the matter is the final motivating factor was my admiration for George Bush, and I wondered whether or not I had what it took to get in the arena like he did.
I don't buy that at all. He doesn't understand psychology. He doesn't understand himself. That's the of all the things that I've heard in the last half hour, that's the one I think is the biggest crock. There were all kinds of stories from inside and around about his making decisions. The people who were advisors to his father kept telling him, please don't do, like, for example, a war in Iraq, and he wanted to make his own statement, and it did. So he may love it. I think you can love your father. I'm not disputing that. That's not for me to try to figure out whether he loved his father, but he paid. I think he was disrespectful to his father. And by the way, you don't become an alcoholic like that. I speak from experience. If you're a parent, I'm not an alcoholic, but I was around alcoholic parent, and you don't do that on your own. It doesn't. If the parents really care, they know what's going on with you, and there's something that happens. There's an intervention. And I'm sort of surprised, either by the father or the mother, and I don't know that this is addressed any more strongly than this in the book, but there's something about that statement that seems not genuine. But other than that, I'm thinking this is a pretty interesting book. And not that that isn't interesting, it just I don't buy it. That's my own read on it, and that's the only comment I'm going to make, because your turn is up now before us at 800-510-8255. I know there are a long line of people who want to say, George Bush the Terrible. I've said that 100 times. Nothing new there. Can we come up with some new stuff? If you feel compelled, you got to tell us that George was a horrible president. Yeah. We all know that. But there are a lot of people who are now saying, my God, look at the president we have now. Could there be anybody that was worse for president than Obama? Yeah, George Bush, no, back and forth. Isn't it a kind of sad reality that we're talking about this job, important position as it is, and we have lousy people that get into these jobs? Why do you think that is? That's maybe a sidebar conversation for us here. 800-510-8255. So good, bad, or indifferent, your feelings about him as president may affect your feelings about the book and whether it's worthwhile. We'll find that out in a moment as the countdown continues.
Today, traditional vacations like local ski trips and shoreline getaways are giving way to unique experiences like moshing at culinary hotspots in Singapore and visiting eco-friendly cities in India. What's clear is travelers want to personalize their vacations to reflect their lifestyle. That's why the Marriott Rewards credit card team created a sweepstakes program that puts the winner in complete control to plan a unique and special vacation, according to Tina Chin of Chase Card Services.
This October and November, card members are entered to win the ultimate Marriott vacation grand prize worth up to $25,000. They also have an opportunity to win various daily prizes every time they swipe their Marriott Rewards credit card. Whether card members are looking for a romantic escape for two, a culinary experience with friends, or a getaway with the entire family, the ultimate stay sweepstakes allows them to tailor the trip to their individual lifestyle.
No purchase necessary. The sweepstakes ends November 30th, 2010. Void where prohibited. For more information and official rules, visit chase.com/ultimate stay. I'm Lee Shepard.
An important message from Medicare and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Got 2 miles to go, John. Why are you smiling?
Oh, you'll like this. I just changed my Medicare.
Open enrollment?
Yep. I compared plans and found coverage that's better for me.
Did you see the new benefits we get from the new health care law?
What?
Like, well, 50% off brand name prescriptions for anyone in the donut hole.
Really?
Come on, John. You got to keep up.
Open enrollment is November 15th to December 31st. Visit Medicare.gov or call 1-800-MEDICARE.
I don't want to grow up, want to be a Toys R Us kid.
Shop Toys R Us for super deals on the biggest selection of toys and video games from the hottest brands like Barbie, Fisher-Price, Lego, Nintendo, and more. If you're expecting a baby, register with Babies R Us. We make it easy to plan for baby's arrival. Sign up in-store or online. Plus, make shopping even more rewarding. Join our free rewards program at Toys R Us and Babies R Us and get exclusive offers, discounts, and more. Toys R Us and Babies R Us, the hottest toys and everything for baby, all at low prices. Come shop and save today.
Talk Radio Countdown Show, 800-510-8255. We're talking about George Bush's memoirs, Decision Points. Our poll today at the Countdown website, you can go to DougStephan.com. You can also go to TalkRadioCountdown.com. The question is, do you plan to read George Bush's book? A, yes, he's a brilliant strategist and author. B, yes, it's an inside look at history. C, no, he's an embarrassment to himself and others. D, no, he screwed up the country and the economy so badly, I don't have enough money for the book. no, I'm waiting for Dick Cheney's book. All right, you can go to the website. We'd love to have your thoughts on this. Clay Kohut, who is in charge of our social media, monitoring this on Twitter, Facebook, and elsewhere. Comments there, Clay?
Few comments here, Doug. The first one's from Chris Hort, who says, I'm very interested in reading Decision Points. The book was written by a president that was leading our country when the nation was changed on 9/11. And this guy was also in the military, I believe. Mm-hmm. Another user, Guam H, says, I quite like the title adapted by Bush for his autobiography, Decision Points, deciding which country in the Middle East to bomb first. And then Rumina says, George Bush's book, Decision Points, has reached out today. Two words, burn it. And then the last one I got here, Doug, 5VII5 says, George Bush has released Decision Points. Get your crayons out, kids.
Okay. Well, you could have expected all of that. And actually, some of that stuff is funny. 800 doesn't take away from some of the interesting things, the points there. that are made here. 800-510-8255. David calls the countdown from Lynchburg, Virginia. Yes, David, you're on the air live. Hi.
Thank you, Doug.
Yes.
George Bush, he may not have been a perfect person and a perfect president. And there's very few perfect presidents. However, he did secure our borders. He did increase security and protect all of us from the terrorist threats, and that is still felt today because just the recent bombs that they caught, that didn't start just yesterday from anybody just putting something into play. Obama hasn't done anything to beef up security. He's actually weakened our security by putting our CIA on trial and letting everybody else know what our tactics are, and George Bush has protected us, and his policy for protection has protected us up until now. Mm-hmm. And as long as Obama doesn't weaken or do any more stupid CIA trials or whatever you want, I think that George Bush should be patted on the back for what he did, because mm-hmm. being in the military. I was in information gathering, and I had a lot of opportunity to read a lot of information of where we should assassinate and take out people, where we didn't take out people. We had Osama bin Laden in our sights several times, and we never took a shot.
Yep. All right, sir. Thank you for expressing yourself. 800-510-8255. Fred in Maryland, go ahead.
Good morning. I think George Bush will go down in history along with Ronald Reagan as two of the worst presidents in the history of the United States. Ronald Reagan was an awful president. When when Ronald Reagan took office, the national deficit was under $1 trillion. When he left, it was $5.5 trillion, and along comes Bush and doubles it. But yet we want Republicans to take care of a mess that they started. We had awful, as far as our relationships with foreign countries when George Bush was the president, he was awful. And for anybody, for even this guy to just walk around with the mess that he's left this country, is really a shame. That I think that anybody would honor him as a decent president. He was an awful president.
is square. What is three?
I want to say deviled ham.
Correct.
Yes.
If beauty's in the eye of the beholder, where is brains?
On the phone with the plumber.
Correct. What does Netflix now deliver instantly through Wii?
Oh, unlimited TV episodes and movies.
Correct. Wow. Netflix now delivers unlimited TV episodes and movies instantly to your TV through your Wii console. All for only $9 a month. See terms of use.
Shop Toys R Us for super deals on the biggest selection of toys and video games from the hottest brands like Barbie, Fisher-Price, Lego, Nintendo, and more. If you're expecting a baby, register with Babies R Us. We make it easy to plan for baby's arrival. Sign up in-store or online. Plus, make shopping even more rewarding. Join our free rewards program at Toys R Us and Babies R Us and get exclusive offers, discounts, and more. Toys R Us and Babies R Us, the hottest toys and everything for baby, all at low prices. Come shop and save today.
Jack be nimble, Jack be quick. Jack knocked over a candlestick onto the shag carpeting, and his pants ignited into flames, causing him to stop, drop, and roll. Luckily, Jack recently had Geico help him with renter's insurance, because all his belongings went up in flames. Jack got full replacement and now has new pants he ordered from Banana Republic. Visit Geico.com and see how affordable renter's insurance can be.
Hi, I'm Shannon Brown with FedEx. We've been working together with the March of Dimes for stronger, healthier babies for many years. Did you know in America, 1 in 8 babies is born too soon? Those who survive their early birth can suffer serious and sometimes lifelong health problems. Some babies never come home. Help bring more babies home healthy. Join me and the March of Dimes in fighting premature birth. Go to marchofdimes.com.
Down what America's talking about. The Talk Radio Countdown Show continues.
How strong is your interest in this George Bush book? President on the Road, participating in interviews this week to promote the book again called Decision Points, his account of his presidency's key moments. You heard earlier here the first interview, bits and pieces from Matt Lauer. He's also going to go on Oprah Winfrey and Rush Limbaugh shows this week. He's also hitting Fox News for a series of interviews. There are a lot of details about a lot of things that went on during his presidency. He said, quote, "I thought the financial crisis gave John McCain his best chance to mount a comeback. In periods of crisis, voters value experience and judgment over youth and charisma. By handling the challenge in a statesmanlike way, John could make a case he was the better candidate." He asked McCain to hold off on a meeting, citing concerns that it might jeopardize talks between congressional negotiators and Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson. Bush said McCain ignored his appeals, handed Obama an opportunity to describe him as erratic. So not a lot of love lost between McCain. McCain didn't ask him to campaign for him. Bush thought he could help with the base, and he didn't. McCain's decision to put Sarah Palin on as his running mate, this interesting sort of tidbit back and forth. Karl Rove told Friends that he didn't think Palin was qualified to be president, and George Bush apparently agrees with that. So there it is. More for the base and lots of chewing going on here. 800-510-8255. Andy, listening to the countdown in Texas, George Bush and George Bush the father both live there. What do you think about Bush there, Andy?
Just wanted to say that I voted for President Bush twice, and I like pretty much what he's doing. And the only other thing I don't like about the president is the fact that he did bail out the bankers. I understand the Secretary of the Treasury, you know, he relies on him, but still, that's the one big down check is that the president went along with that and left those guys in charge instead of putting them in jail. But with regard to the war, I think the president did great, and I just, you know, hope he's having a good time in retirement.
All right, there are hopes and wishes for the president in comments at 800-510-8255. Again, you can go to our the other line we have set up is the text line 646-926 Doug, here's Mary listening in Ohio to the countdown.
Good morning. I guess Bush has put on his 10-gallon hat and said, "You're damn right. I was for waterboarding." He should be convicted of war crimes. The bad thing is the teabaggers and the people on the right will think, "Oh, wow, he's a big guy." They still believe Nixon didn't commit a crime. My problem with Bush, he sent 4,000 troops. I'm surprised there's not people out there protesting that their kid died because he sent them to the wrong country to fight a war. He should be tried for treason. He's just dog meat.
All right, we understand where Mary's coming from. Don't have to ask too many questions for clarification there. Tim in Tacoma, Washington, with his findings on the Bush book.
I see there sure is a lot of anxiety about President Bush. It sure is a sure contrast with Obama in the White House, bad-mouthing our country, running around, apologizing for America. This is America. We fought real hard to be a country, and we have a lot of convictions. President Bush, even though you never heard President Bush blame anyone for anything, he took the responsibility. And the fact is, and let's talk about this, if President Clinton had gone and actually taken Osama bin Laden when he was offered up by Sudan and by the people, maybe Mr. bin Laden would already be taken care of. And the fact that people want to blame President Bush for 9/11 and all these things, President Bush at least had the conviction to go and fight and protect America and not hide under his desk or apologize or blame somebody else.
All right, the blame game. All right, you're in Georgia, and you have the last word in this hour on George Bush and the book.
George Bush will go down in history as the worst president ever. He was the beginning of the end of America. He'll be gone in history. I think intellect will be determined if you voted for him and if you were dumb enough to vote for him for the second time. He plunged us into economic disaster. He lied us into a war that cost lives of Americans and foreigners, and I think he will be the worst president in history.
All right, you've heard that before. Talk Radio Countdown acknowledges the following sources: Fox News, CBS, NBC, C-SPAN, John Gambling, Joe Crummy, your calls and comments. The Countdown is written by Jeff Clothie. I'm Doug Steffen.